Well, good morning. Welcome to the Red Rock Morning Show on Red Rock 92.7 FM. Glad you've joined us for another edition of the Red Rock Morning Show, bringing you local news and happenings throughout the Red Rock listening area. I'm your host, David Boyle. It is Thursday, February 15th, 2024, 9:08 a.m. on this Thursday morning. Glad you've joined us for another edition of the Red Rock Morning Show. We've got a lot of local news and happenings for you throughout the Red Rock listening area. Start with some news out of the state of Utah and where the state is withdrawing its support of a proposed land swap of state trust lands and the Bears Ears National Monument for federal lands elsewhere in San Juan County and the rest of the state. Utah elected Republican leaders took action, saying the federal government is, quote, ignoring good faith input from the state regarding the management plan for the national monument. Meanwhile, the Bears Ears Intertribal Commission says that the withdrawal of the exchange is to the detriment of Utah's school children and cultural and natural resources in the monument. The Bears Ears National Monument Management Plan has not yet been released, but designated cooperating agencies have been providing input as the plan has been drafted over the past few years. But signs of disappointment from some entities in the direction of the draft has been made apparent over the past few months. In January, San Juan County and Blanding City sent letters to the Bureau of Land Management and the U.S. Forest Service requesting another meeting with cooperating agencies ahead of the public release of the draft of the Bears Ears Management Plan, with both entities hoping to provide feedback to any possible changes made since cooperating agencies met last in late 2023. Then on February 5th, Utah Governor Spencer Cox signed a letter to the U.S. Department of Interior Secretary Deb Haaland, withdrawing the state from the Memorandum of Understanding to conduct the Exchange of Trust Land Administration, that's TLA, formerly SITLA, properties from other federal properties for other federal properties in the state. In a February 6th statement, Governor Cox, Utah Senate President Stuart Adams, and Utah House Speaker Mike Schultz released a joint statement regarding the withdrawal. They said, quote, Utah has sought a collaborative, inclusive approach to managing our public lands, including in the management of the Bears Ears National Monument. The statement says that the Biden administration continues to ignore our good faith input. The federal government has signaled that it once again plans to adopt a restrictive land management plan that will harm recreational access, grazing, and other traditional public uses of these lands. When the administration is prepared to have a serious and good faith collaboration discussion about land management, we stand ready to renew discussions of a land exchange, ends the statement from Utah's Republican leaders, elected leaders. The proposed swap as drafted would see 130,000 acres in the Bears Ears National Monument currently managed by TLA turned over to federal agencies, as well as 30,000 other acres across the state. In exchange, 52,000 acres currently managed by the BLM in San Juan County will become TLA-managed, with an additional over 111,000 additional acres gained by TLA in other areas of the state. Areas identified to change from the BLM-managed to TLA in San Juan County include the Lisbon Valley area in northeast San Juan County, as well as lands west and north of Blanding, south of Bluff, near Cal Black Airport, in western San Juan County, as well as additional lands in Spanish Valley. While the draft management plan for the Bears Ears National Monument has not yet been made public, some entities have expressed disappointment in the direction of the planning process. And we'll get some more information on that. Again, we've got a full report of that in the latest edition of the San Juan Record. And of course, speaking of latest editions, we've got a special guest joining us now from the Times Independent. It's Thursday, so we're speaking now with editor Doug McMurdo. Good morning, Doug. All right, actually looks like, are you there, Doug?
I am.
Okay, hey, thanks for joining us. Sorry, I got the wrong button pressed. Again, editor for the Times Independent, Doug McMurdo. Doug, thanks for taking the time. You've got another big edition of the Times Independent out now.
Yeah, we do. The big story this week, I think the one that's going to be the most impactful for readers is the story of Annie Ralph, the late Annie Ralph. She perished in a car wreck on Highway 191 on February 6th. Her son was seriously injured. He has since been upgraded to good condition, and the other driver, also a Moab local, Martin Espinosa, also perished a couple of days afterwards. Annie was the director of nursing at Moab Regional Hospital. She had been there for close to two decades. Well-loved in the community. The family is well-loved in the community. The hospital CEO, Jennifer Sadoff, spoke to me earlier this week, and I just had some fond recollections. Annie was the recipient of Utah's Emergency Nurse of the Year in 2019, and when she came back from receiving her award from Salt Lake City, she got into town, and it's a tradition in Moab whenever we get a state champion that they get a ride in a fire engine down Main Street, and Jen had arranged for that to happen for Annie, and she was mortified, but she did. She was game. She did get into the fire engine and take a celebratory ride down Main Street. So it was just that kind of thing. It's you know, I came from a much larger news market in Las Vegas, and I've learned over the years I've been in Moab that tragedies like this, they strike harder, and that was pretty much the frame of that story. Also in the news that I think is another downer is domestic violence and how difficult it is for folks in Grand and San Juan County and other rural Utah counties to actually provide a safe environment for victims of domestic violence. It's a many-headed beast that's causing this, but I think the primary one is the law of unintended consequences, a law the legislature passed last year designed to help victims of domestic violence. It kind of works in the bigger cities in the metropolitan area up on the Wasatch Front, but it doesn't really do anything. In fact, it's somewhat harmful to places like Seekhaven, which provides services to domestic violence victims and children, both in Grand and in San Juan County. And the story itself was produced by the Salt Lake Tribune, of which we're a partner with now, as you know. And it was such a local story that I put that on the front page because it's important. The reporters spoke with Abby Taylor, the director of Seekhaven here in Moab. Abby's been in that position for a few years, and she really knows what's going on. So the upshot of this is they don't have enough rooms. In the rural areas, prosecutors are much less likely to drop or lessen charges against somebody who's been arrested for domestic violence. There's an awful lot at play. In the rural areas, as you know, hunting is very popular, and a domestic violence arrest, you at least temporarily get your guns taken away. And if you're convicted, they get taken away for good, and your right to possess them gets taken away. So there's a lot of reasons why people who are victims of domestic violence won't call police. But when they do call the police, they oftentimes they aren't able to get the help that they need, and it doesn't really lessen the danger that they're in. I'm not sure how I can put it in terms that people can understand, but Abby is faced with the folks at Seekhaven are faced with the task of kicking somebody out because somebody who needs a safe space more theoretically needs your bed. I mean, that's what it comes down to, and that's like a tough choice for anybody to have to make. I certainly wouldn't want to make it. So I think we need more resources in rural Utah for domestic violence. It is, I think beyond drugs, it's the second most common call that law enforcement responds to in Grand County.
Yeah, well, that's really terrible. It's good to see, you know, the good work folks at Seekhaven are doing. Of course, Gentle Ironhawk Shelter in Blanding as well. But it's unfortunately one of those issues that resources don't always match the need. So it's good to have that coverage and hopefully help change that.
Yeah, and I want to make it clear that, you know, rural Utah might have a higher rate of domestic violence cases, but that only is because rural prosecutors, county attorneys, are much less likely to dismiss or lower the severity of those charges. So, you got to look at it in context.
Sure, yeah. Well, very good. There's a lot in the Times Independent, this latest edition. What else would you like to highlight this morning, Doug?
Well, I think Sophia did a great job, and I'm going to come across as being somewhat ignorant, but I don't have a paper in front of me.
No worries. Yeah, I've got it for you. Looks like there was front page story recognizing Martin Lockley. Also, it's reports about short-term rentals here on the front page.
Short-term rentals. The story that I think local people would want to read is on page 2. Sophia Fisher did. She localized that issue. Short-term rental profits increased by 130% in 2021 and 2022. And then I think they dropped off rather precariously in 2023 because visitation slowed down. But the pandemic, it really did. We all know how busy we were in Southeast Utah with the tourism. It was overwhelming. I know that sounds dramatic, but it truly was overwhelming. It would take me, sometimes it would take me 6-7 minutes to get to work. they didn't make the money they did last year. And I think the reason, and to me, it just makes so much common sense. And I know not everybody agrees with me, but during the pandemic, we wanted to be outside. We didn't want to be closed in indoors with other people. So as you know, I'm sure San Juan saw its share of tourism as well. It just exploded. And you could hear OHVs 24/7. Every hiking trail, every biking trail was packed. Every restaurant was packed. Room rates were super high, like the highest in the state here in Grand County and Moab. So, and then 2023 came along and people kind of returned to their lives pre-pandemic, and the tourism didn't drop off precipitously, but it did in the sense that it wasn't as wild and crazy as it was during the pandemic, especially 2022.
So very interesting within the context of short-term rentals. Sophia Fisher written that story. There's also a lot of opinion pieces about Cane Creek, and that seems to be an issue that is going to be around for a while. I don't see any update news related to Cane Creek since in this latest edition. Is that right, Doug?
Yeah, I had to give Sophia a breath on that. she'd been consumed with that story for weeks. It's going to continue. It's something that people are truly galvanized over, and the protests are going to continue. And then you know the property right owners on Cane Creek, for those who are unaware, it's King's Bottom on Cane Creek Road. It's a riverside property that they're going to build close to 600 homes and 70,000 square feet of retail space, commercial space, restaurants and whatnot. So it's one of the most pristine and one of the most beautiful areas of Moab, and it kind of has people upset. But I understand that, and I agree. I don't like it either, but I don't want to not be cognizant of the fact that the developer has property rights, and we don't know if what he's doing is kosher. The county is investigating, but they're not really sharing any findings that they might be coming with. But you got to respect property rights, because if you don't, that's just a slippery slope. So I want to defend the developer as much as I want to defend people who are upset with the project.
Sure. Yeah. Well, again, like I say, there's a lot of opinions on it and opinion pieces in the Times Independent, and there's going to be more stories to follow. Of course, the good crew at the Times Independent staying busy covering local news in Southeast Utah and particularly Moab Grand County. Again, we've been speaking with Doug McMurdo, editor of the Times Independent. Anything else you'd like to mention before we let you run this morning, Doug?
Yeah, I want to explain why I was at a disadvantage for not having a newspaper in front of me. I could not remember Mr. Lockley's first name, so thank you for mentioning that it's Martin. That's a very entertaining story. It's basically a memoriam for Martin Lockley, who was quite the paleontologist and very influential over paleontology and finding tracks, dinosaur tracks. He was one of the best at that. So it's a moving tribute and also entertaining. It's a good read.
Well, very good. Well, our thanks once again. We've been speaking with Doug McMurdo, editor of the Times Independent. Latest edition is out now, and it's free. You can get it throughout the area. It's sent to your post office box if you're there in Grand County. I've been speaking with Doug McMurdo. Doug, thanks for the time this morning.
Thank you, David. You have a good day.
Yeah, you do the same. Once again, it is the morning show on 92.7. We'll take a quick break and be right back. Stick with us. You're listening to the morning show on Red Rock 92.
When you have pain, weakness, and debilitation, it's easy to get the physical therapy you need in San Juan County at Precision Rehab. You don't need to limp along, putting up with discomfort that saps your strength and movement. Precision Rehab is here to restore you to activity with clinics in Monticello and Blanding, as well as Montezuma Creek and Monument Valley. Whether the pain is in your knees, hips, shoulders, feet, or neck, we have innovative, effective treatments that make a difference. Treatment is covered by Medicare and most insurances. Call 435-678-3869 for an appointment. That's 435-678-3869.
Spring's right around the corner, and Walker Drug, Moab's Everything Store, has all your seed starter needs covered. Garden and flower seeds are here. The January white sale has been extended through February. Our new shipment of Tannerite will help you celebrate spring with a bang. Plus, Walker Drug offers home prescription delivery and a medication sync program. Walker Drug, Moab's Everything Store, right next to Walker's True Value.
Have you heard? San Juan Health has some exciting new features on their website. From a single account, you can view your entire family's medical bills, set up payment plans, fill out forms, and more. You can even pay a bill by responding to a text from the hospital or clinic. To find out more and create your own account today, visit sanjuanhealth.org and click Online Bill Pay. San Juan Health, chasing perfection since 1947.
Moab Heat and Cool, your Bryant Whatever It Takes dealer, reminds you it's time to clean and tune up your furnace this winter. Check out this unbelievable special for Red Rock 92 listeners. Right now, get a full furnace cleaning and service for only $99. Don't miss the big Red Rock Radio Winter Furnace Tune-Up Special. Call Moab Heat and Cool right now at 259-1519. That's 259-1519. Take advantage of the big $99 furnace special this winter with Moab Heat and Cool, your Bryant Whatever It Takes dealer.
Moab Heat and Cool can now handle all your plumbing needs. Call them today. This week, a story of resilience amidst injustice unfolds at the Moab Museum. Join us Saturday, February 17th for the free public opening of A Moab Prison Camp, Japanese American Incarceration in Grand County. The former CCC camp at Dalton Wells, 14 miles north of town, transformed for 106 days in 1943. Dive into this history in our own backyard and its lasting legacy by visiting moabmuseum.org. Stop by 118 East Center Street in Moab from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Saturday.
Well, good morning. Welcome back to the Red Rock Morning Show on Red Rock 92.7. It's Thursday, February 15th, 2024. 9:28 a.m. on this Thursday morning. Morning show sponsor Redtail Air Connections offers weekly air service from Canyonlands Regional Airport in Moab to Salt Lake City International Airport. Book today at flyredtail.com or call 435-259-7421. David Boyle in studio now with Bill Boyle. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
How are we doing today?
Doing good. Doing good. It's a nice day.
Yeah.
A little bit dreary out there, but dry.
Yeah.
Intermittent sun shining through the clouds.
Yeah.
It's not going to warm up too much, though.
No, but a nice day. Nice day indeed. Well, again, it is the morning show on Red Rock 92. And we were chatting a little bit about the Bears Ears land swap, TLA land swap, and I'm going to continue that on, give you some more information on that. Again, the draft management plan for the Bears Ears National Monument has not yet been made public, but some entities have expressed disappointment in the direction of the planning process. Speaking before the Utah House Natural Resources, Agriculture, and Environment Committee on February 9th, Utah Public Lands Policy Coordinating Office, that's PLPCO, Director Reg Johnson said that their office has been disappointed with federal partners. He said, quote, "We've used our state resource management plans, the county resource management plan, every leverage that we have to try to get the state's interest represented in the management plans. He says all the alternatives that they rolled out are troublesome at best. The preferred alternative that we read into, and I can't get into specifics because of the signed MOU, said Johnson. He said, but the preferred alternative was very problematic. He says, it's very unfortunate that we're in this position, but I have to lay this at BLM because they have not been working with us or cooperating with us with our resource management plans. Johnson further said, it's very unfortunate that we had to take this action, but I commend the Speaker, Senate President, and the Governor for being willing to play this card when it was the only card we had left to play." Again, that was Reg Johnson. At that same meeting committee hearing, Moroni Benali, representing the Navajo Nation, read a joint statement from Navajo Nation President Boo Nigrin and Navajo Nation Council Speaker Crystalline Curley expressing disappointment with the state's decision to withdraw from the land exchange. The statement said in part, quote, "The contemplated exchange maximizes revenue to the state of Utah for the support of Utah's school-aged children while simultaneously complying with its statutory duty to protect archaeological core cultural resources on state lands. The Navajo Nation truly believes that the contemplated land exchange is in the best interest of all three sovereigns, the United States, the state of Utah, and the Navajo Nation. The contemplated land exchange also had support of the Bears Ears Commission, as it was reestablished to ensure the management decisions affecting the monument reflect the expertise and traditional and historical knowledge of tribal nations." The statement continues, "What is particularly troubling is that the rejection of the contemplated land exchange is seemingly not based on the merits of the land exchange, but on the separate issue of the development of a co-management plan." That's that statement. While the Bears Ears land management plan is not publicly available, a partner of the federal agencies published its suggestions for management of Bears Ears in 2022. In June of 2022, the BLM Forest Service and representatives from the five tribes of the Bears Ears Intertribal Coalition signed a first-of-its-kind co-management agreement for the Bears Ears National Monument. In August of 2022, the Bears Ears Intertribal Coalition published their proposed land management plan, developed over 2 years, for the monument, which was submitted to the Forest Service and the BLM. That tribal coalition is made up of appointed tribal representatives with historic ties to the National Monument area, including representatives from the Navajo Nation, Ute Mountain Ute, Hopi Tribe, Ute Indian Tribe, and Zuni Tribe. That 101-page land management proposal from tribal representatives lays out tribal priorities and goals for the co-management of the monument with the federal land agencies. Amongst those, including the creation of a full-time tribal management staff and the creation of a traditional knowledge institute. The document also outlines the cultural landscape of the monument, including the natural environment, including viewsedge and soundscapes, air quality, sky, water, wildlife, plant, and woodland resources, geologic, paleontologic, and archaeologic resources. The collaborative land management plan also cites threats and impacts to the cultural landscape, including extractive industries, livestock grazing, recreation and tourism, and climate change. The entire collaborative land management plan can be viewed in full online at bearsearscoalition.org. In addition to the governor's action withdrawing the state from the MOU, a resolution rejecting the exchange is being heard in the Utah State Legislature. That's HJR 26, sponsored by House Representative Casey Snyder, who represents a Republican representing parts of Cache County. The resolution rejects the land exchange and calls out on the federal government to put forth a land management plan that is, quote, in line with historical practices that would benefit all local communities and trust land beneficiaries impacted by the proposed land exchange. That resolution passed out of its committee 11-2 on February 9th. So again, that's the latest there in that land exchange.
Wow, you know, and of course, this is a complicated situation. This doesn't affect the monument. This doesn't affect the management plan. I think it meant to send a signal to the federal land agencies that the state is not pleased. But everything will continue to move ahead. They just won't do the land swap apparently until they can get something figured out.
Yeah, and that's something, you know, like the last part of Governor Cox's statement is, you know, signaling in some way, hey, you know, we're happy to re-engage in this when we feel like the federal government is listening to us, is basically the gist of the statement. I'll find the exact statement. But,
but tribal, state, federal governments, local governments, everyone's on a different page, it sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah, so again, it continues to be an interesting and fraught issue. We don't know what this management plan is going to look like, but it's very historic and setting new precedents in that this is the first time that there's been a co-management of a monument with these five tribal entities and these federal land agencies. So what exactly does that look like? You know, is it, you know, how are those decisions made of, okay, here's the tribal nations, they came forward with their land management plan. How much of that is going to be incorporated by the federal government? Is it all of it? Is it 50%? Is it 25%? Is it some in this area, some not? You know, it's completely unknown, but that does make it, so that we do know something of what someone's proposed that has, you know, more representation or more weight possibly in this proposal than other local entities might not, because they don't have this same, you know, publicly signed co-management contract or agreement.
Yeah, but there's always been partnerships with states. You know, state sovereignty is a very real issue, and so does adding the intertribal coalition bump someone from the table, or does it add one more seat around the table? That may be kind of the crux of maybe what the state is trying to make a statement about.
Yeah, and again, it's all new. It's unknown, again, because this is the first of its kind in this management plan. So, and again, you know, I mean, that's all, you know, a lot of that, we're going to have a final, you know, plan or a draft plan that's presented, and people are going to be able to take a look at it. And, you know, we don't know what sort of negotiating, you know, by the state or proposals by, you know, local counties or tribal coalitions. You know, we don't know, you know, what was proposed and what was heard. And, you know, it's a lot of that is just, we're going to see that first draft result. But anyways, it's been a bunch of work, and it seems like it's getting closer. And the fact that the state's been, you know, grumbling with their displeasure, I think signals that it's close to being made available. But I guess we'll see when it
becomes
available.
Just a reminder, Bears Ears was first designated in December of 2016. It's been 8 years.
Yeah.
Coming on 8 years.
Yep. Yeah, it's been a long.
And we're almost to get a draft management plan.
Yep. Yeah, it is a long issue, and lots of people with lots of strong opinions regarding it. And anyways, so we tried to cover that mess in the San Juan Record and here on the morning show of, you know, figuring out you know, kind of what maybe is happening or what's coming forth. But yeah, it's a big issue, and lots of folks working.
So many moving parts of this whole thing. And, you know, and the SITLA portion of it is really relatively quite small. These state trust lands that are interspersed in the monument that was I think in all three designations of the monument, they talked about swapping out state trust lands for federal land elsewhere. So that's a part of the enabling document to create the monument. But boy, that's certainly run into a roadblock right now.
Yeah. You know, and again, it seems like that may eventually end up happening at some point, you know, as far as, it's like you say, it's been all three editions of the monument, you know, PLBCO director saying, you know, hey, it's unfortunate that we feel like we have to play this card is what he said, but they're playing that card. You know, Governor Cox in his statement again saying that, you know, they hope to come back to the table on that issue. So I think an exchange probably is going to happen eventually, but you know, right now the state's saying no, it's not, because we're unhappy with the plan. But who knows? We'll see moving forward. Again, it's the Red Rock Morning Show on Red Rock 92. We've got a lot more local news and happenings for you throughout the Red Rock listening area. Empire Electric has put out an alert yesterday, and so that probably continues today. They've got lots of reports of members calling and reporting they've been scammed. If someone calls your home or cell phone demanding you pay your electric bill immediately, gather as much information as you can from the individual, hang up the phone, notify the police, and then call Empire Electric so that they can alert their members. So that's, again, a good rule of thumb. You know, people get scammed quite a bit. You know, someone calls and says, hey, you've got a warrant out for your arrest from San Juan County Police, or Empire Electric calls and they're saying you've got to pay your bill and being very aggressive. The thing you can always do is hang up, look up their official number and call them back. And I promise you, you know, that if it is legitimate, and 95% of the time it's not, but if it is legitimate, they'll say, oh yeah, thanks for calling us back, you know, but always do that.
Yeah, and it's just remarkable how persuasive they are in that too.
Mm-hmm.
You don't understand how people get scammed until you're scammed, and and in retrospect, I can't believe I fell for that. But in the moment, so be very careful, particularly if people want something right now.
Yep. Whatever it is, promise you can call them back, and if it is whatever it is that serious, then they'll, you know, whoever it is will work with you. But again, you're likely being scammed if someone's demanding a payment right away. It's the morning show on Red Rock 92. We've got more local news and happenings for you throughout the Red Rock listening area, including an event happening tonight at, in the Moab Library. That's where it is, at 257 East Center Street tonight at 7. Author Lee Bennett's coming to discuss her recent book, Dugout Ranch, A Land Use Perspective. She'll share the history and politics involved in the use of public lands for ranching in the unique case of the Dugout Ranch, homestead-turned-ranch near Canyonlands National Park in Utah that's contributing to the science of sustainable land use. So very interesting book there by Lee Bennett. It's available at the San Juan Record. I've been enjoying selling it, but she's going to have a presentation at Grand County Library tonight at 7.
Yeah, Lee's had 30 years of work working with and for and with the federal agencies surrounding the Dugout, and that's a great book.
Yeah. Yep, so should be a very interesting evening tonight there in Moab. Again, as part of the morning show, we have funeral notices and memorial services throughout the Red Rock listening area.
Yes, there'll be a celebration of life for Martin Joe Espinoza of Moab. We just discussed him. At 11 a.m. on Saturday, that's February 17th, at the Moab LDS Stake Center on Locust Lane. Sherry Christensen of St. George, a Monticello native, passed away on Sunday, February 11th. There'll be a viewing in Monticello at noon on Monday, February 19th, at the LDS Stake Center, followed by a brief graveside service at the Monticello City Cemetery. And graveside services for Sandy Freestone are Tuesday, February 20th at 2 p.m. at the Monticello City Cemetery. Freestone passed away on February 8th at the age of 68. For more information on these and other services, you can check the local newspapers or the websites for Ertel Funeral Home, Spanish Valley Mortuary, or the San Juan Mortuary.
Thanks for sharing those, Bill. Again, it's the morning show on 92.7. We'll take a break and be right back.
Compared to previous vocational classes, career and technical education courses now span nearly every industry, including automotive, welding, health science, business, digital arts, computer science, and more. CTE students learn valuable, real-world technical skills with a solid academic foundation while exploring career options or pursuing their passions. Did you know San Juan School District offers 19 CTE pathways for secondary students? To learn more, visit a CTE teacher or southeastutahcte.org.
Do you enjoy working with children? Care About Childcare is looking for people who are interested in starting their own childcare business in San Juan County. Startup costs and a $2,500 grant are available for family childcare providers. A $10,000 grant is available for childcare centers. Funding is limited. Call 435-613-5619 to learn more. Funded by DWS through the ARPA Discretionary Fund.
Diamond Propane in Blanding, Utah is the only locally owned and operated propane dealer in San Juan County. Call Dennis today at 435-558-5635 to fill your tank while prices are low. Diamond Propane provides bulk or residential propane and sells or leases tanks. That number again is 435-558-5635. Diamond Propane is a proud sponsor of local high school sports.
It's tax season, and there's no better place to use your refund than High Performance Ford of Moab. Tax refunds make great down payments and can help lower your monthly interest rate. We have a wide selection of new and pre-owned vehicles with deals on everything from Mavericks to Super Duties and thousands off F-150s. We offer a variety of financing options with rates as low as 1.9% on F-150s and 0% financing on Explorers, Edges, and Escapes. Call or come in today. Tax season done right at High Performance Ford of Moab. It's that easy.
Celebrate backyard birds during National Bird Feeding Month at Choice Building Supply Ace Hardware in Cortez. We've got big sales on Ace 40-pound wild bird food and 20-pound black oil sunflower seed. Assorted varieties of Ace bird suet, just $139 apiece. Plus, save on Ace spray paint, yard and garden tools, Flex Seal products, Gorilla Tape, and much more. It's all part of our Red Hot Buys this month at Choice Building Supply, Ace Hardware in Cortez.
Small banks are better, but that doesn't mean your Dolores State Bank doesn't offer the bells and whistles of larger banks like our mobile banking app, while still providing personal connections, local jobs, and community involvement most giant financial institutions can't match. When you bank with us, you get all the flexibility, mobility, and security you deserve, plus a big smile when you walk through our doors. Dolores State Bank, banking designed with you in mind. Member FDIC. An equal housing lender. Learn more at mydsb.com.
Well, good morning. Welcome back to the morning show on Red Rock 92.7 FM. It is Thursday, February 15th, 2024, 9:46 a.m., Bill.
And it was 31 years ago today that "I Will Always Love You" by Whitney Houston was the number one song in the land. She recorded the new arrangement for the song on the soundtrack to The Bodyguard. It was her first film. Co-star Kevin Costner suggested the song. It was written by Dolly Parton. Linda Ronstadt made a version in 1975, and Whitney Houston did it, and spent 14 weeks at the top of the charts, which at the time was a record. It became one of the best-selling singles of all time. 31 years ago today, "I Will Always Love You." On this day in 1898, the USS Maine mysteriously sunk in the harbor in Havana, Cuba, killing 266 crew members, all members of the U.S. military. It ultimately led to the Spanish-American War. Back in the day, "remember the Maine" was a famous phrase that no one remembers anymore, but that was on this day in 1898. Also on this day in 1978, Leon Spinks defeated Muhammad Ali and became the world heavyweight boxing champion. 1978. Today is Annoy Squidward Day. It's from an episode of SpongeBob SquarePants. Squidward's always annoyed by SpongeBob, And SpongeBob asked what day it is. He says, it's Annoy Squidward Day. SpongeBob replied, no, that's on the 15th. Hmm. So today is Annoy Squidward Day. Susan B. Anthony was born on this day in 1820. She was instrumental in the fight for civil rights and advocacy for women securing the right to vote. Of course, she's on the $1 coin, the Susan B. Anthony coin. Comedian Chris Farley was born on this day in 1964. Died in 1997 at the age of 33. By the way, fellow SNL alum John Belushi also died at the same age. It's kind of crazy. They were so similar. Matt Groening, creator of The Simpsons, is 70 years old today. Happy birthday to Matt. Actor Cesar Romero was born on this day in 1907. He played the Joker in the TV series Batman. Died in 1994. Actress Amber Riley, who played Mercedes Jones in Glee, is 38 years old today. Local birthday to a lot of people. Happy birthday to Bill Haven, Craig Simpson, Roxana Cordova, Isabel Ray, Carlia Lee, Mary Bowman, Crystal Jarman, Buddy Funk, Jesse Pribble, and Hayden Forst. If you want to give a birthday shout out on the morning show, give us a call. 435-587-2277 or email info@redrock92.com.
Well, very good. Thanks for that, Bill. Once again, it is the morning show on Red Rock 92. As part of the morning show, we got the on-air job fair, job opportunities. We'll send you over to that and be back with the sports reports here on 92.7.
Listen every day for the on-air job fair on Red Rock 92. The job fair is broadcast 9 times a day, throughout the day, every day.
World Mark Moab has an immediate opening for an experienced maintenance manager with a $3,000 sign-on bonus. Come join our dynamic team at World Mark Moab. Apply in person on-site at 1435 North Highway 191 or online at careers.travelandleisureco.com. Enjoy great pay, benefits, and work environment at San Juan Health. Positions at San Juan Hospital include registered nurses for surgery and medical services and laboratory, radiology, and ultrasound technologists. San Juan Clinic Monticello seeks a clinic manager, and Spanish Valley Clinic seeks an outpatient pharmacy manager. Apply at sanjuanhealth.org under the Careers tab. For more information, call Melissa at 435-587-1114 or email mslade@sanjuanhealth.org. The Canyonland Solid Waste District has several openings. A mechanic, a lube tech, a heavy equipment operator, and CDL drivers are needed. If you're looking for year-round work with the best benefits in the area, stop by 2295 South Highway 191 in Moab or visit them on the web at swssd1.org. You can also call at 435-259-6314 for more information. San Juan County has a number of openings, including an environmental health director, a full-time economic development specialist, a sheriff's deputy in the North District, a part-time senior center aide in Blanding, and a 32-hour-a-week victims advocate position that includes benefits. San Juan County offers excellent pay and a generous benefits package for full-time employees. Get more information and apply at sanjuancounty.org or contact Crystal Brake at 435-587-3225. White Mesa Travel Center is seeking an experienced convenience store manager with retail and fuel administration experience. They're also seeking an assistant manager. And Cuchu's Restaurant at Ute Mountain Casino Hotel seeks an experienced chef for the Chef Tomal role. 3+ years experience as a room chef, chef de cuisine, or sous chef. Culinary school training is preferred and experience in a fast-paced, high-volume environment. Also, openings for cooks and sous chefs. Wages on experience up to $20.72 per hour. Full benefit packages available including vacation and holidays. Download an application at utemountaincasino.com/careers and submit with your resume to employment@utemountaincasino.com or call Human Resources at 970-564-6127 for more information. Grand School District needs you. Openings are for bus drivers, a groundskeeper maintenance person, a Dene Language Family Club instructor, a district speech pathologist, a severe special ed paraprofessional, and a lead teacher slash dean of students at the new Student Career and Success Center. Wages are up for full and part-time vacancies, and they offer great benefits, retirement, and holidays and weekends off. Get a job that matches your child's schedule and makes a difference. apply at grandschools.org, and click on the Employment tab to learn more. WorldMark Moab has immediate openings in housekeeping, maintenance, guest services, and food and beverage. Competitive wages start at $20 an hour, including worldwide travel discounts, full benefits, and limited share housing is available. Come join our dynamic team at WorldMark Moab. Apply in person on-site at 1435 North Highway 191 or online at careers.travelandleisureco.com. Homestead Steakhouse in Blanding is looking to fill several positions, including a regular cook and a prep cook for the evenings. They're also looking for a chef with knowledge of Chinese cuisine. Experience is helpful, but they're willing to train. Pick up an application at the Homestead Steakhouse at 121 East Center in Blanding. Call Katie at 435-220-9134 for an appointment. Lisbon Valley Mine still has a number of open positions, including heavy equipment mechanics and an industrial electrician. Lisbon Valley Mine offers year-round full-time employment with competitive wages and excellent benefits. To apply, send a resume to applications at lisbonmine.com. For more information, go to lisbonmine.com/careers. Lisbon Valley Mining Company mines and produces copper within Utah's Lisbon Valley, located in LaSalle. Canyonlands Care Center, Moab's senior care facility, is searching for certified nursing assistants at $20 an hour, along with RNs and LPNs. These are full-time positions with benefits. Come join an amazing and caring team. Please contact Canyonlands Care Center at 435-719-4400 or stop by at 390 Williams Way behind the hospital. Blue Mountain Hospital in Blanding has a variety of open positions, including registered nurses in many departments. They're also seeking a radiology ultrasound tech, a marketing assistant, and a patient care tech full-time and part-time at night. Blue Mountain Hospital offers an incredible work experience and atmosphere with great people, compensation, and benefits. Apply today at bmhutah.org/careers. Find rewarding and satisfying work at Utah Navajo Health System. Currently seeking employees for a wide variety of positions, including medical, dental, behavioral, and support functions at locations across the Northern Navajo Nation and Southeast Utah. UNHS strives to hire the most talented and optimistic employees in the healthcare sector. Check out unhsinc.org/careers for a complete list of current job openings.
Listen every day for the on-air job fair on Red Rock 92. If you want to participate, give us a call at 435-587-2277 or email info@redrock92.com.
The San Juan Credit Union, providing exceptional financial products in southeastern Utah for over 60 years, is proud to support our local high schools. With branches in Blanding, Monticello, and Bluff, along with an ATM in Montezuma Creek, access to those products is easier than ever. The San Juan Credit Union offers checking and saving accounts, bill pay, a wide array of loans, and much more, all on a full-service website and mobile app. Plus, they're federally insured by the National Credit Union Association. The San Juan Credit Union. Your money, your future, your credit union.
Come check out the big bargains this month at Walker's True Value Hardware and Lumber Yard in Moab. Four packs of GE HD LED bulbs are $13.99. Duracell AA and AAA 8-packs just $8.99. Rubbermaid 32-gallon wheel trash cans $19.99. Plus, stock up on winter staples like ice melt, heaters, insulation tape, and fire pits. Walker's True Value, Moab's one-stop hardware and lumber yard, next to Walker Drug.
It's the 24th annual Cortez Livestock Farm and Equipment Consignment Auction, April 5th through 7th at the Cortez Livestock Auction. Consignments will be accepted March 14th through April 3rd from 8 to 6 daily and April 4th from 8 to 5. The deadline to list items on the advertising flyer is March 3rd. For more information, call or text Rowdy at 970-759-0233 or Allen at 970-749-1958. Brought to you by Rawhide Auctions.
Hearts, love, and sweet winnings at the Ute Mountain Casino. Get ready for a month of excitement with sweet winnings. Every Saturday in February at 6 p.m., 8 p.m., and 10 p.m., we're giving away $1,000 in cash. Every drawing. Every Sunday is Sunday Fun Day. Every hour, we're giving away $200 in cash to one lucky winner and $25 in free play to their friend. Sweet winnings and Sunday Fun Day await at Ute Mountain Casino.
Red Rock 92 High School Sports, I'm Rhett Sifford. easy wins for both the San Juan and Grand County boys basketball teams last night in the first round of the 2A Utah State Tournament. The Broncos beat Intermountain Christian 82-39, and the Red Devils beat Utah Military Academy Hill Field 95-19. Grand will host Roland Hall in the second round on Saturday, and San Juan will travel to take on North Summit. You'll hear that one live on Red Rock 92 starting at 4:30. Utah 1A teams and Colorado teams are still closing out regular seasons this week. Tonight, the Monticello boys and girls will host Whitehorse in a high school hoops doubleheader on Red Rock 92 and stream Utah.live. That gets underway with the boys game at 5:30. Both Montezuma Cortez teams are at Ignacio tonight. The Green River boys are crossing into Colorado to visit DeBec. The Nucla boys are at Ridgeway. The Monument Valley girls are at Pinnacle. And Colorado State wrestling tournaments begin today for Dolores, Dove Creek, Mancos, Montezuma Cortez, Norwood, and Nucla. They're all at Ball Arena in Denver through the weekend. Send scores and updates to sports at sjrnews.com. That's a look at local high school sports on Red Rock 92.
Well, good morning. Welcome back to the Red Rock Morning Show on Red Rock 92.7. Yeah, I've got a doubleheader here tonight in Monticello as the boys and girls basketball teams from Monticello hosting the Whitehorse team. Should be a lot of fun. Action tips off at 5:30.
Yeah, the boys at 5:30 and the girls at 7. Be a rematch of some great games down in Montezuma Creek a few weeks ago. Yeah. This is it. This is senior night. This is the last regular season game.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. 2A already in the playoffs. Broncos had a good win last night.
Yeah.
Red Devils blew out their opponent.
Yeah.
It's progressively harder. In 2A, they've got to win these the second play-in game on Saturday in order to go to the three-day tournament in Cedar City. So good luck to the Devils and the Broncos.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Best of luck to them. Well, once again, it is the morning show on Red Rock 92. Let's take a look at the regional sports report. Yesterday, the Sacramento Kings beating the Denver Nuggets 102-98, and the Lakers beating the Utah Jazz 138-122. The Phoenix Suns did get a win, however. They beat the Detroit Pistons 116-100. Kevin Durant leading the way with 25 points for the Suns. Last game before the regional game before the NBA All-Star break, the Utah Jazz hosting the Golden State Warriors. That tips off tonight at 7. Well, that'll do it for the regional sports report, and with it, this edition of the Red Rock Morning Show. Really glad that you joined us this morning, and we look forward to chatting with you tomorrow. Until then, have a great Thursday.